Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Yes. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Of course, happy Saturday to all of you. This is your Weekly Dose podcast. We're starting just a little bit late because we had some technical difficulties, so we apologize on that. But yeah. We are on the air.
And I'm not going to blame Casey. Okay, we thank you for joining us today as we are streaming live to you from Orange County, California. If you're new to Your Weekly Dose, this program is about having fun. We recap our past week experiences and enlighten your day through laughter.
That's right, laughing at all things that we experience in everyday life, the embarrassments, the silly things, the awkward things, even the things that we're afraid to talk about, but we still do.
You know, the things that connect us all, the things that make us human. And as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
And to all of our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you guys are a part of the show, so join in the conversation. You can do that several ways. For example, comment on our episode on our website, yourweeklydose.com.
Send us a message via Twitter and Instagram, at yourweeklydose1.
Say hello to us on Facebook at Your Weekly Dose.
Or if you want to send us a personal message, you can email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
That's right. And we got a pretty cool show for you guys today. So we got movie reviews with Paul Preston. We're going to be talking sports with Os Davis. And if things go well, we might even call the Pope. So hang on tight, boys.
I'm sure he'll be ready for us. You can always download past shows for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you are on the go, you can subscribe to iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose. And most importantly, tell the world what you think of us. Please rate and review the show.
Oh, please do, because it's so much fun when you do, and we love it when you guys rate and review the show. And, of course, today's theme song is Walk, Don't Run by The Ventures. Once again, because we lost a great one, and we'll talk a little bit more about the great Don Wilson, because he was a great guy. So I'll play it again just a little bit here for you guys.
Doo-doo-doo.
Now, if you guys are really paying attention, Don Wilson is coming out of your left speaker.
There you go.
Yeah, that's Don there.
I remember we were working at Interventions at Disneyland. The Hawaii Five-0 came back.
Oh, yeah.
And so what they did was they put in different magazines a button that would play the Hawaii Five-0 theme.
Which the Ventures
did,
yeah.
You could stick it on the wall or stick it on your desk, whatever. You just push it and it plays the theme.
Nice.
So much fun.
Yeah. So, we'll talk a little bit more about Don a little bit later. But in the meantime, let's catch up with each other. There's a delay. All right. Well, Caitlin, you've got a lot of things going on.
Yes.
Tell us.
Basically, I'm...
Tell us. Come on. Hurry up. Tell us.
I'm in the process of basically tying up any loose ends that I have in production at all, because we'll be filming the first episode of our web series in about 20 days.
Nice.
So a lot of meetings when it comes to anything. We're doing all the, you know, last chemistry reads for casting. We're doing, I actually just wrote a new character for, I believe it was in episode 4 that's introduced, and it's a non-binary deaf character that we're casting. If that's
non-binary deaf, is it a cowboy?
No, deaf. D-E-A-F, like not hearing or like hard of hearing, people who know American Sign Language.
My son knows American Sign Language.
Oh, true.
He's pretty good at it.
But I'm looking for hopefully someone who, hopefully a deaf or hard of hearing person for that. You know, because I don't want to...
Is it a cowboy?
No, I know.
Darn.
I know. All the cowboys.
I want a cowboy roll. I want to wear my guns.
Is it a clown?
I don't know what
I like to wear the red nose. I like to wear the red nose.
He likes to creep kids out?
Sometimes.
Scary clowns.
I mean, some of them deserve it.
Like, some of them, some clowns are actually really scary.
They are.
That's funny.
Like it.
I personally know someone who was a clown for Barnum Ringling Brothers.
Well, we both do.
Oh, well, yeah.
Him too?
Yeah, him too.
Yeah.
Dang, interesting.
Yeah. Now, is yours in the Hall of Fame?
No, she's like, she does a lot of stuff on the side. She does a bunch of different things. She's a puppeteer,
you. Wow.
And she does a lot of puppeteer stuff like that.
Interesting.
And, yeah, she's worked pretty high up.
Nice.
Not too bad.
I got a buddy of mine right now who's doing the new Fraggle Rock.
Oh.
Yeah, he's really
That's
happy.
That's cool.
So.
Yeah.
That'd yeah, we're all excited for him and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very cool. Anyway, so you got everything starting to come in together. And
yes. Yeah, so we're, especially because, so the web series started out as a short film, but then pretty last minute, last minute can be like the night before. So like probably around like a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago maybe, we were like, you know what, let's turn it into a web series. And so I started writing basically all the time. I have 5 episodes right now. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a 10 episode series.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And it's just so exciting. Like we're figuring out all the locations that we're filming at. And if any of you know coffee shops or clubs that would happily take a film production company in Orange County and let us film there, just DM us Ketsover Studios on Instagram. Also, we're like literally anything pre-production that you can think of, we're basically just tying up the loose ends and making sure everything's set.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm really grateful for all the effort that my team has put in.
Good.
Because like it's just so exciting. Like this is going to be our first project with our studio.
Nice.
That's coming out. Yeah.
Very cool. That's always very exciting. You know, yeah. The very first one, you see how things are going to turn out, and it's going to be a big learning process for everybody.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, to see what they go, because everybody goes, yeah, I know how to do that. Really? Well, now's the time to test it out. You kind of go, oh, yeah, I can't be a best boy. Yeah, I don't know electricity except positive and negative, and there's a ground, and that's it. You know?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be interesting. And honestly, like, I chose people that are going to be on our crew that are really, like, they're really good people. And mm-hmm. they are the type of people that if someone doesn't know something, that is 100% okay to admit and let's learn it.
Yeah.
I don't want a hierarchy or a, like, you know, status thing because someone's been in the industry longer. Mm-hmm. Like, of course, you know, they have more experience and that's amazing and they can definitely help other people. But it's going to be...
You want to try to make more of a group effort kind of thing.
Yeah, it's an I wanted an environment that was just a healthy and safe place mm-hmm. to learn, and also for the actors, because the actors, you know, they're emotionally vulnerable all the time, and it's very important to have mm-hmm. a safe space for that. And so the main points when I was in the hiring process, when I was in the casting process, was hiring actors and crew that I believed would do well in this environment. And because I want my PAs to be treated well, I want my actors to be treated well, I want everyone to be treated well. And, you know, especially people who are beginners mm-hmm. who can be treated like absolute crap sometimes on film sets. Like I've experienced that. Like, you know, PAs get treated like garbage sometimes, and mm-hmm. I never want, like...
No, you want to have that good experience where everybody is learning. Everybody, it's just a very positive.
Yeah, exactly.
Thing.
Yeah, that was the main thing for me.
And which is good. Which is really, really
like,
good.
Like the health and, the health of my crew and cast is the most important thing. And
as it should be.
Yeah, and you know it's not seen like that in the industry a lot, and so it was just a very important thing for me when I was going through the casting and the crew hiring process, which I told everyone I was casting or hiring, I told them this whole spiel too about all the, you know, I just want them to be able to want to come to work and be happy to be there. And that's the main goal. Like, it's, I just want them to have fun and create, you know, this art with us. Because that's how it's supposed to be.
It's a team, the whole big gold team effort.
Yeah. Yeah.
Steve, how about you? How was your week?
All right. I have nothing.
Enough said.
But yeah. I thought you'd be interested in this. My friend Genevieve, she right now, her list of things is she's an acting teacher at South Coast Rep.
Uh-huh.
And she works with some virtual reality games, healthy humor, a live actor at MetaQuest. She's a puppeteer at the Jim Henson Company.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
And she's also a clown that visits hospitals. And she's an improv and puppeteering teacher at McCoy Rigby Arts.
No kidding. Wow, her and I have a lot in common then.
So, yeah. So, and once in a while she does stuff at the Maverick Theater.
Very cool.
Yeah, nice. So she's very talented. She's one of those stand on the wobble board juggling, you know, kind of. She's really something.
Yeah. Well, something happened to me this week where I got to try and find where it's at real quick, though.
I think where it's at?
Yeah, because it was a text that was sent to me.
Maybe it's behind the at.
Oh, no. So I got a text. You know Tito Benavides, right?
Yes.
Okay, buddy of ours, uh-huh, was on the Mark and Brian program, you know, did the syndication board and everything. Mm-hmm. So very good friend of ours, lives here in Long Beach, and he was posting something on my Facebook page. And he goes, and then he messages me, goes, "Can you believe it? My post on your wall got deleted. It allegedly went against Facebook law." So I took a picture of it so you can see, you know, what it says. And this is what it is. Because I posted something about, "Hey, tell me where we met," kind of a thing or whatever.
Right.
You know, friends, what have you. All right. So Tito said, "We met in the future yet to come. We dwelt together in the internet through satellite space and time and shared laughter remotely yet closely. If you delete me, I'll kick you in the shins."
Oh, that's so nasty. I mean, wow. Just.
But I mean, it's like, really? That got deleted?
Who knows why that would get deleted? That,
you know,
that's really weird.
Just a petty, maybe
I'll kick you in the shins. Oh, yeah. No.
Oh, my God.
Just
threatening.
A petty person be like, you know what? Fine. Yeah. My power then.
So I said, well, how in the hell does that go against Facebook law? He goes, well, I'm a bad dude. And then we just start kind of texting back and forth these emoji things or whatever with each other and what have you. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, wow, okay. And then the other day, too, he was asking me about how to listen to the show, because he hasn't listened to the show for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually goes, well, because you guys are funny.
We are.
And I went, wow.
Wow.
Because I'm totally serious with everything I do. Where this funny comes from.
I know.
That's weird.
Yeah, because he goes, are you still doing your show? And I said, yes. I said, why? What's up, my brother? He goes, well, I want to listen in. I've been absent-minded lately because of everything. Can you send me the link again? He goes, you guys are funny. I went, wow. Funny, you say. I said, coming from you, that means a lot, you know. And I told him, you know, how to do it, whatever, what have you, and everything. So
that's cool.
But yeah, so it's kind of cool, you know. So I enjoyed that.
Well, Tito, if you're out there, how you doing, bud? We love you.
Yeah, we do. Absolutely, we do. And so I thought that was kind of a cool compliment and everything.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
from somebody from that neck of the woods.
Who is involved.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. He knows what the heck he's doing. And Tito, we do got to get you back in here, brother. I mean, we had you on the phone, though, but we got to get you in the room and everything, because he's just a bundle of fun. So, but let's see. I think Paul is supposed to be calling in. So let me see if I can get Paul in on. And let's do a little bit of this here.
And a little bit of that.
Yeah. Hey, gotta let that one go.
Oh my goodness. Did you hear about the James Webb telescope arrived at its destination?
Did it really?
Yeah, it's now out at L2, about almost a million miles from Earth.
Nice.
But it's always on the opposite side of the Earth from the sun. So
Well, that seems to be a problem. But all right, looks like we got Paul in right now, so let's kick it off here. And as always, towards the end of the month, we'd like to talk to our buddy, Mr. Paul Preston from the Movie Guys. Hello, Paul.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
Damn decent. How's by you guys?
Doing wonderful, buddy. Doing wonderful.
Awesome.
How is life treating you?
You know, I had a formal introduction to your co-host, Caitlin, yeah?
Yes.
Yes.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Well, you know, with none of this in-person nonsense, you know, I don't know. I don't believe we've had a formal how do you do. So how do you do?
Now, Paul is somebody you need to talk to also because he's a filmmaker as well.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, I've made a bunch of shorts. I'm on the verge of my first feature. You know, I've got one other project to finish up, then I want to get onto that. And God bless you for getting out there in the middle of COVID trying to make something happen because it's it's rough, but it's fun to hear the stories, you know? Get it done. Get it
yeah,
done.
Exactly.
A million people can start a film, but it's the rare few who can finish it, so
exactly.
Keep going.
Thank you. Yeah, that's so cool that you're doing your first feature. I'm doing my first web series and first kind of anything with my studio, but...
Oh, cool. Yeah. I mean, I'm just due. I mean, I talk about movies all the time. I got to end up make one. So,
yeah.
You know, I've only had opinions for days. It's like, well, I think I could crank this out.
Well, you've done a couple of shorts.
The means to do so is so close now. I mean, I'm Sean's age. We're not Steve's age. But I'm Sean's age. So we've seen, like, you know, having to get $3,000 worth of film stock whittled down to just buy a card and you can shoot forever, you know?
Yeah.
So... I should be taking advantage of that.
Okay, I have a question for
Uh-oh.
You.
Uh-oh.
Just saw a movie the other day called Pool Party.
Oh, no.
Does that ring a bell? Look at that, he's laughing.
Oh, yeah.
But, hey, Pool Party, of course, by occasional... guest on this show and the singer of that COVID Christmas song.
That's right. That's right.
Justin Bowler. But this dude got it done. Guy got it done.
Yeah.
So points.
Yeah. And he even got naked.
Well, I mean, no points for that. But points for
no points for that.
Hey, let's give Justin the benefit of the doubt. It was cold that day.
Yeah. I was in the pool. I was in the pool.
The water was not warm. Yeah. Yeah, we came across that last week and we were like going, "What? No way." Okay. So,
yeah, I haven't seen that in many moons, but yeah, if you want like a raunchy, just sex party movie, Pool Parties for you.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you've got to direct some stuff yourself though, didn't you? Haven't you? Because you directed one of your wife's videos.
I've directed two or three music videos. Did a web series for her comedy troupe. I've got like two short films that made runs, and then another two I made with Justin. So yeah, all that's kind of racked up to. That was great. Feature time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, either way, Paul's a guy to talk to. He's a good guy to know.
Yeah.
So, all right, we got a bunch of movies to go over. Nightmare Alley. What the heck is this thing about?
Well, that's the problem, is that you don't know. And I don't know why people haven't sought this movie out. Perhaps it's COVID. Perhaps it was buried under Spider-Man, as everything was.
Yeah.
In fact, poor 20th Century Studios got a raw deal this Christmas. They put out perhaps the best slate of films during the holidays, you know, in terms of consistency. They put out West Side Story, Nightmare Alley, and The Kingsman. They were all great. They all kind of tanked, and it's a real shame because, well, first of all, Nightmare Alley is Guillermo del Toro. If you like Guillermo del Toro and the sort of weird, oddball fantasy stuff that he brings, this brings a little of that, but actually I appreciated it more because it's something like The Shape of Water. You know, there are scenes where characters are talking about the size of the alien's penis, and I'm going, all right, that's all over the top. But he pulls all that back and kind of just doubles down on filthy noir, and it's fascinating. I think it's right in his wheelhouse, and, you know, he's talked on the press circuit about, you know, this is a movie that has been, you know, kind of building up to in his life, and it shows. It's everything's there on the screen with great detail, and it's about Bradley Cooper is an opportunist at a Depression-era carnival. He learns the ways of scamming people as a mentalist, eventually takes those skills to the big city, and then things get really dangerous for him. You couldn't ask for a better cast. You got Cooper, who, I mean, that dude's due for an Oscar at some point between, like, I think he was nominated, what, 3 years in a row for American Sniper and Silver Linings Playbook and American Hustle, I think. So,
Wasn't he also nominated for the song or whatever that with Gaga?
The Star is Born.
Yeah, The Star is Born.
He didn't write the song, but he was nominated as producer for that for Best Picture, and I think maybe actor, not director, unfortunately, but the guy just keeps getting nice. So he's due. He's a super talent.
Yeah.
He's great in this, and he's surrounded by Cate Blanchett, Rooney Mara, Toni Collette, Willem Dafoe, Ron Perlman, Richard Jenkins, Tim Blake Nelson, Mary Steenburgen, Holt McCallany from Mindhunter, David Strathairn. It's just great. And I want to give a special shout-out to a buddy of mine, Mark Povinelli. He's a little person, and he's teamed up with Ron Perlman, who plays like the big hulking brute.
Love
the
two Ron
of them
Perlman.
Are in the carnival, working together, and he was on my show, Movie Nonsense. You should look that up on YouTube because we had him on to tell stories about just hanging with Ron Perlman all day, and it was like really cool. And he's great in that too. So great cast, and just real danger and suspense. Dan Laustsen, I think his name is, the cinematographer who's worked with Del Toro in a bunch of movies, just outdoes himself to the point where they just released a black and white version of the film because it's so noir. And my co-host on the Movie Nonsense show saw that and said it was great. And I look forward to seeing that as well, because I would watch this movie again, and to see it in black and white would be super noir-y and super haunting. And the last shots still sticking with me. So right up to the very end, he's making a great movie.
Did you see the original?
I did not. I just read an article, though, about how it changed just a little bit. But from what I'm reading, I think the change was for the better. I mean, mm-hmm. Del Toro just kind of doubled down in darkness, and I like that.
Ah, yeah.
Sometimes it's real tasty in a movie. So, but I didn't see it. Tyrone Power. And then, of course, based on a book. I think they cleaned up the book for the black and white, so I'm kind of glad that Del Toro returned to a little filthier side of things. That kind of Depression era desperation and seedy characters and people taking advantage of other people, you know, when they're down and out, all lends itself to just not telling a, you know, fried green tomatoes. You know, it lends itself to this just ugly scene. And I thought it was great. Ken, everything I've described, yeah, it doesn't sound Christmassy. So maybe that's why.
It would
be what I thought one of the greatest taglines of all time was "A Girl with a Dragon Tattoo." When David Fincher put that movie out, they called it the feel bad movie of the holidays, and that's what this was. But you know, it's an expertly made film, and for that, you should check it out. It's not too late. The black and white version might be out of theaters now, but if you catch it anywhere, I still would. But of course, you know, now the window to streaming is shorter than ever. So if nothing else, hang out and catch it there.
It's on HBO on the 5th of February.
No kidding, really?
That's what it is.
Well, there you go.
They're planning on coming out.
Okay, let's move on to this next one here, which I thought is really interesting. My son got to see this one. I think it's the same one, because of the film itself and who's in it, which is called Coda.
Okay, I may have said this, but I've been on the show. If I haven't, it's something I've been dealing with for a while, which is, where's the best picture? Like, sometimes by now, late in the award season like this, I have a movie that's just the one to beat. By now, by late January, you know, mid-January when I saw Coda, I've got the movie to beat, whether it's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Captain Phillips, La La Land, you know, it's whatever it is, this is beat this. And I didn't have that until Coda. That changed. Coda, to me, is the best film you're going to see all year. It is a beautiful film. And I'll give you a bit about what it's about. CODA stands for Child of Deaf Adults. It's a great title also because it's about this girl who's the only member of a family who can hear. But she's outcast at school. You know, she has the, quote, weird family, unquote. She works for her family's fishing business and runs herself ragged, but wants to sort of fit in at school. So she tries something. She joins the school choir because she's always singing when she's working. You know, she's not bothering anybody. Her family's deaf. So she's just singing and trying. And so she meets with this choir director who sees something in her. And next thing you know, this leads her down a path where she's at odds with her parents and working the fishing job and her dream of maybe studying singing at a great school. There's no frills direction here. The acting, story, and script totally win. This isn't the arrival of somebody with a huge thumbprint like Guillermo del Toro or Tarantino or someone who you love going to see David Fincher because he's going to bring this look that you love. Just the story, acting, script totally win. And the director, Sean Heater, and she had a lot to deal with too, of course, having to direct actors who can hear and those who can't, and trying to make it all coherent and cohesive. And so all around, this movie is just fantastic. And no scene gets to the next in a way I saw coming. Not in an M. Night Shyamalan sort of, whoa, that was a twist kind of way, but just the scene would start to play out, and I would, I never try and like predict things or get ahead of myself, but you do go, oh, you know what I would do here if I were her? I was always wrong. And that was a great aspect of the script as well.
And it also stars Oscar-winning actress, Marlee Matlin, yeah.
Yes, one of my 80s crushes.
Yeah, sure. In her first film, which was Children of a Lesser God, you know, she won Best Actress. Who is a deaf person. And I think I remember watching an interview with her where she was saying that she didn't want actors to portray deaf. She wanted actual deaf actors in this film. And I thought that was wonderful, you know, overall.
Yeah, and Amelia Jones is the daughter who can hear, and she's outstanding in this movie. And just, I mean, I had a mask on. It was soaked, some tears, and snot, whatever. I was just crying. Not that it's a depressing film like Nightmare Alley, but it's just beautiful. There's no finer film released in 2021. And you got Eugenio Derbez, whose name I might be butchering. He's made this career as sort of Mexico's Jim Carrey. You might have seen him recently show up in like the Overboard remake or How to Be a Latin Lover. Mm-hmm. This to me is his best sort of way he's gotten into American filmmaking.
Nice.
He's really good as the choir teacher. He's hard nosed, you know, but he's sort of got some kind of weird charm about him, and he gets built an excellent relationship with Ruby, the young girl who wants to be a singer. And I'm telling you, man, this fineness. I saw it in the theater. Thankfully, there was an awards screening I got to go to. Your luck of doing that might have run out, but it's an Apple Plus original, so it's right there sitting for you, waiting awesome. To see. And worth, I'm telling you, worth the try. Go get the trial if you don't have Apple TV Plus. And just watch that. Watch the Beastie Boys documentary, and then get out.
Okay. All right. We got two more real quickly to do. Summer of Soul. What's that one?
Oh, do you not know this film?
I do not know this one.
Yeah, this is a movie put together, the directorial debut of Questlove. And he heard about this, what they've called Black Woodstock, in 1969.
Wait, you're talking Questlove the drummer?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Where have I been?
And he found out about this thing called the Harlem Cultural Festival, I believe it was called, in 1969, and it happened the same summer as Woodstock. So it just got completely sort of buried in history.
Okay.
And Questlove, of course, is on this sort of quest, no pun intended, to sort of unearth things that he considers may have been a victim of black erasure in history. So he found all this footage. Sure enough, like nothing had been done with it.
Wow.
It is an insane lineup of artists. I guess it took place over a number of days or perhaps a number of weeks. But, you know, the film tells of the one big festival where you had like B.B. King and Stevie Wonder and the Fifth Dimension and just Nina Simone and on and on. And he does a really good job. First of all, it's edited within an inch of his life. I'm pretty impressed with all the archival footage they found, and then interviews with people like Marilyn McCoo, who are, you know, still with us, and Stevie Wonder, who can talk about the event. Mm-hmm. And then just paralleling it all to the times. You know, 69, of course, a crazy year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think one of the days of the festival happened the very day of the moon landing. And he does this great montage about how white people are talking about how it's the most important thing in the world. But black people are like, who cares? It's kind of funny. And then, but of course, they have their own issues to bring up in the wake of the killing of Martin, in the wake of the killing of Malcolm.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a fan. I thought it was a really good documentary, and not just for how it puts together all that juxtaposition between the news and the times with the, you know, the festival happening and it being a celebration of Black culture and music, but just as a concert film, like the sound is incredible. Mm-hmm. I was really impressed at the audio on this thing, considering its
age,
you know, 53 years old or something. Yeah. So, yeah, so that's one worth seeing. Unfortunately, again, the theatrical run might be done, but it's a Hulu original, so you can watch it there. Just turn up the home theater and you'll enjoy it.
All right. And we got a few more minutes for this last one here. Don't Look Up.
Okay. Well, this was a close runner-up for my favorite picture of the year, but it is really uneven. So it was like not quite, but I did really enjoy this movie. Now, first of all, I followed Adam McKay, if you know him as the director Adam McKay, who made Anchorman and Talladega Nights and Step Brothers. I followed him in Chicago when I was studying at Second City. He was on the main stage, watched him improvise all the time with the likes of Tina Fey and Rachel Dratch and Scott Adsit. And you could tell he had a thing for social and political commentary. So by the time he made The Big Short, you knew, okay, he is in his wheelhouse. This is his thing. And sure enough, he won the Oscar for The Big Short and now has made Vice and Don't Look Up. And those are all great films. He's cranking out movies that are really what he wants to say. And I love he swings for the fences. And again, with that, there's some unevenness, like Jonah Hill's character, who's like an Ivanka Trump type son of the president, is way over the top. But if you don't know what the film is about, it's about some scientists who find that a meteor is hurtling towards Earth, and they're trying to tell the world to do something about it. This whole thing, of course, is an allegory for climate change and the subjugation of scientists by people who are stupid. And man, it is fun to watch and frightening to watch and uncompromising. And Leo DiCaprio has a monologue when his scientist character appears on a daytime talk show, which they, you know, really send up with Cate Blanchett again and Tyler Perry as the just vapid hosts of the show. He does this monologue that is just, I damn near started crying. It was like everything a scientist would want to say to those who just aren't listening about climate change. Or, and now I think without him even thinking about it, Don't Look Up is also kind of a parallel to the pandemic, because scientists are saying all these things and then people aren't listening, and they've got to just be, you know, scratching their heads and then banging them against the wall with everything that's happening here. But again, talk about an incredible cast. I mean, I've already mentioned you know, Tyler Perry, who I like in everything, although I've never seen a Madea movie. I probably should. Because I like him in everything, but I got to...
Well, I was kind of surprised or whatever that when I found out that he was in it, that it wasn't called, you know, Tyler Perry Says Don't Look Up.
Yeah, Madea's Don't Look Up, yeah. Yeah, Cate Blanchett, of course, DiCaprio is always good. Jennifer Lawrence and Meryl Streep is in it. She plays the president. So every chance that McKay gets to skewer a different aspect of our, you know, brain dead culture. Mark Rylance plays a tech giant who has this advanced technology that he's devised, but like no ability to be social or human. And so that's obviously a lot of these things are broad, but he totally gets the point across. And I would rather he make these huge choices than hold back and make something that's less interesting to watch, because this movie is something. You probably heard people debating it online. It really is divisive. I go on the side of, you know, well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Well, either way, we got four good movies to go check out. Nightmare Alley, Coda, Summer of Soul, and Don't Look Up. And, of course, this is our dear friend Paul Preston from The Movie Guys. You can catch him on themovieguys.net. where he has his own movie reviews and everything else going on there too. So check him out, because he's worth it.
Yeah, we just dropped a new episode of the Ford Fusion. Dropped. What am I, 20? put out a new episode of the Ford Fiesta. That's the podcast where my buddy Adam and I are watching every Harrison Ford movie, and each episode is a different film as we break it down, discuss it, do a comedy kind of recap of it, and have a lot of fun. And the one we just put out was More American Graffiti, because he makes a cameo in the beginning of that. So even if he's on screen for a second or a word, we're watching it. And that's an interesting listen, because we brought on a guy who swears more American Graffiti is better than American Graffiti.
Ooh.
So a buddy of ours who's like a legit critic, he's just like, no, it's more ambitious and more fun. So that's always a good listen, and we've got like 40 more episodes to go.
Hey, Paul.
Hey,
you're looking to make a feature. I just have three words for you. Pool Party 2.
Oh, and also, well, you may not be 20, but you know who is? Hi.
Did I use the word right? A new episode dropped.
There you go. There you go. Paul, always good to talk to you, buddy. We will catch you next time.
Yes, movies.
All right, my friend, take care.
Farewell.
All right, buddy.
Excuse me, Mary Poppins vibes. The song.
What's that?
I said that song that just gave me like Mary Poppins vibes.
Oh.
He's floating away in his umbrella.
He's floating away. Goodbye, Paul. Goodbye, Paul. There goes Paul with his umbrella. There we go.
His brawly.
His brawly, exactly. Oh, my gosh. Well, we've been doing this 3 weeks in a row. And I don't like doing these. This one kind of hits home with us, basically. And I'm going to... I'll just kind of play today's song again. Because it's just a really cool song. It's one of their most popular ones here. But last week, both Steve and I... saw a post really from our dear friend that we've known, God, for the last 5 years, really.
Yeah.
She's been with us. It's been on the guest many, many times on the show, promoting her books and her movies and everything, which is Stacey Lane Wilson. She's a writer, director in her own right, script writer and everything. Well, her father is Don Wilson, who is one of the founding members and the last of. From the group The Ventures, last member. And he passed away last week. And we definitely want to pay tribute to him, because he was a great guy. I got to meet Don 2 years ago, right before COVID hit, at the NAMM show.
Mm-hmm.
Got to shake his hand, got to talk to him. And one of the nicest guys you ever want to meet. I mean, so humble.
Yeah.
I think he signed 5 or 6 things for me and gave them to me and goes, here you go, Sean. Yeah. And what am I going to do with all this? Well, I framed it all and everything, so, which is really cool. And I'm glad I got to meet with him and talk with him a bit.
I've got one of his Hall of Fame picks.
Oh, that's right, yeah. I've got a bunch of his venture picks, too. He goes, here, Sean, have a bunch of these. He goes, I got too much of this shit. Okay. So The Ventures was basically an American instrumental rock band. Here's the thing. They were kind of known for the surf thing, but none of them were surfers.
Yeah. It was kind of like the music was adopted by the surfing world because it just fit their lifestyle
so
and everything.
Yeah.
That's funny because, like, I used to dress like I surf, but I've never been on a board. And so it's like the same.
Well, you could be one of the Beach Boys, too, then, as far as that's concerned. Well, the thing is, in the band formed in 1958 in, of all places, Tacoma, Washington. It was Don Wilson and Bob Bogle who started the band, basically. They were a quartet mostly in existence, helped popularize the electric guitar in the United States across the world during the 1960s. While their popularity in the United States waned in the 70s, the group remained especially revered in Japan, where they constantly toured every year. The first wide release was a single that which is also our theme song, Walk, Don't Run. But they did so many other covers, not only just their own and anything, but they did movie themes, and then they did like pop, and then they did this or whatever. Of course, they're also very well known for doing the theme of Hawaii Five-O. That's one of their biggest things there. So let's see. The 70s, 38 of the band's albums charted in the U.S., 38 of them. Which tells you how many more they have, ranking them as the 6th best-selling album chart performer during the 1960s. The band had 14 singles on Billboard Hot 100 with over 100 million records sold. The Ventures are the best-selling instrumental band of all time.
All time.
That is so cool. Their recording of Walk Don't Run was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame as its lasting impact. And in 2008, the group was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Now, the thing that's really interesting is that 2 years ago, Stacy, his daughter, who we know, who's our friend, did a documentary about the band and her father and everything and how it all came about. They got everybody from Jimmy Page to Creedence, John Fogerty, to be a part of it and everything, to say a few things about Don and the band itself and how it influenced a lot of those rock and roll guys. Even Billy Bob Thornton did an interview for Stacy for the film and everything. Really, really cool. But here's how the band actually got formed. Don and Bob first met in 1958 when Bogle was looking to buy a car from a used dealership in Seattle owned by Wilson's father. Finding a common interest in guitars, the two decided to play together. While Wilson joined Bogle performing masonry work, they bought two used guitars in a pawn shop for about $10 each. So, you know, because Seattle, you know, that area there, it's always raining.
Mm-hmm.
Masonry work, what are you going to do on your off time?
Sell umbrellas.
Pick up a guitar at a pawn shop and learn how to play guitar.
Well, that's the other thing. That's why, you know.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they did. That's exactly what they did. So initially they called themselves the Versatones, and the duo played a lot of small clubs and beer bars and private parties throughout the Pacific Northwest. Wilson played rhythm guitar. Bogle played lead, but when they went to register the band name, they found out it was already taken. A little bit disappointed, they cast about for an appropriate name. Wilson's mother suggested the name The Ventures because they're going on this grand venture of life and things and so forth. So, and that's what they ended up with and agreed with in 1959, and the rest, as they say, is history. So, God rest you, Don. You definitely be missed by the music community, and for sure.
The list of people in it is long.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, my goodness. It's pretty amazing.
Name a few. The
Eric Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
Actor. Bob Thornton. Jimmy Page. Lalo Schifrin. John Fogerty. Pleasant Gaiman. Waddy Wachtel, Marky
Waddy
Ramone.
Wachtel.
Marky Ramone. I love the Ramones. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I love them. Randy Bachman, Wayne Kramer, Josie Carter. The list. John Wilson.
Yeah. He influenced himself.
It's a good thing he got into it.
Yeah. I mean, Waddy Wachtel, Jimmy Page, you know, John. These are people that, you know, were influenced by the Ventures.
That's where
they sit every time.
And there's a lot of lesser known names, a long list of people that are in bands people know. Uh-huh. They just may not know their name, but they influence so many people. It's just crazy how many people they influence.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just absolutely, absolutely amazing. Right now, though, we've got a little bit of sports because it's football season.
Oh, yeah. We got some big games tomorrow.
We got some big games tomorrow, man. We don't know who, what, where, when, why, and how. And, boy, I watched all four last week.
It was, what a weekend.
Oh, my gosh. And here to talk about us is Os Davis from SportsHistoryNetwork.com. Os, how are you, sir? Oh, where are you?
What, no music?
There we go. I got you. No, we played it. You didn't hear it?
No, I did not.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me play it for you again. There we go.
Awesome.
No. See, right now, I'm going to bring it down, but Oz is the only one who can hear it right now. I'll bring it up so we know where we're at. There we go. Because Oz really likes his own theme there. I like it.
Well, you know, it's a good bridge.
It is. It is. Dude, what the hell happened last weekend? Three games ended 3 points apart?
Yeah, and then the last one went OT. So pretty good weekend. It was funny. One of the things that struck me, because, of course, immediately thereafter, nobody can resist going on podcast, going on ESPN, all the talking heads and whatnot, and, like, you know, saying how much their minds are blown by all this. And it was interesting because everybody instantly forgot how the week before all the games were like blowouts and terrible and really sad for a few teams in there.
Nice.
But instantly forgotten. Instantly forgotten. Now we're on to this week. And who knows, at the end of this weekend, just two games, but we could have forgotten all about that mega weekend in the divisional round, right?
But we had, I mean, some major upsets in that thing, too. You know, Tom Brady went down.
Yeah. Well, it was the funny thing because it was this very interesting bumper on his career. You know, there were all these rumors that he might retire after that game. But here they were. Okay. So they're down almost by the same score that they were in the Atlanta Super Bowl at almost the same point in the game. The Rams were shooting themselves in the foot, just like the Falcons were in that Super Bowl game. And Brady and company just barely didn't have enough to make it work in the end. Because in the end, and this is one thing too that I would like to say about that Rams-Buccaneers game that I want to hammer home, okay? The guys that are going to finish in the top two in the MVP vote, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, are both going home.
Right.
And you know who's still around? Cooper Kupp. What other player in the NFL this season are you going to go to twice when you have to throw in the center of the field for 60 to 70 yards? Yeah. No one. That's who. Kupp makes two clutch catches way downfield both times, completely invisible. Does a triple move on one guy, breaks his ankles. But the second guy, you know, just like, I don't know, passes right through him or something. He's open, sets up the field goal. Rams win. Cooper Kupp is the MVP.
His field presence is unparalleled. He knows where everybody is. He can feel it. He doesn't even have to look. He just can feel as he's going out what's going on, and he knows where to get to according to where he thinks people are.
But, you know, watching that game, though, there was a lot of things that the Rams really screwed up on.
No.
And I'm just like
are you kidding?
Well, dude, how about that one hike where it went over the quarterback?
They tried so hard to lose, but...
and that was the whole thing. It's like, what the hell are you guys doing? Because, I mean, they had a huge lead. You know, I mean, even the commentators are going, hey, do you remember when the game was like 23-3? You know?
27-3, yeah.
Yeah, whatever, you know. And that is it. I mean, and that's what Brady's good at, is coming back in that clutch, you know. And it's like, holy guys, you better hold on, you know, to this whole game. You know,
it's pretty amazing.
But Again, this is kind of an anomaly. You know, in the past 3 weeks, they've done this twice now. They blew the game to the 49ers, which allowed them to be in the playoffs at all, the 49ers, right? And they blew that game in overtime. And they're blowing this game. They blew this game against Tampa Bay. So, but both of these games are pretty anomalous, right? Because, again, you have the four turnovers in the 31 minutes in that game. Twice the Buccaneers get the ball in pretty much inside the red zone, a little bit outside of it, right? So, you know, I mean, of course, Brady and Gronk are going to, you know, sew that one up. You know, that's no problem, right? So, you kind of feel okay as a Rams fan because, again, like, you gave yourself this huge handicap and you still won.
Yeah.
You know, Stafford didn't choke. He didn't throw. Actually, in the Rams game, that was the one kind of – in the Buccaneers game, that was the one turnover you didn't see was the awful, obvious Stafford pick, right?
Right.
You had bad fumbles. You even had Cooper Kupp fumbling. You know, you had a bunch of bad fumbles. Yeah, sure, you had the bad snap, but no grievous pick like you had been doing all season, you know? And so you got to feel okay if you're back in the Rams after that game.
So now we got two California teams coming up tomorrow.
Yep.
Every time the Rams have gone up against the Niners, they've just lost.
Right. Okay.
What do you think is going to happen in tomorrow's game? Do you think it's the same thing is going to happen? Are the Rams going to lose it? Or do you think that it's going to be a really close, good game again like it was last weekend.
Okay. I'm going to zag a little bit, but I'll throw out a couple of mind-blowing stats. Everybody loves the Rams are 0-6 in the last six against the Niners. You know, they're putting this down to the coaching, right? Shanahan, you know, has McVay's number or whatnot. But here are a couple of mind-blowing stats in order of mind-blowingness. The less mind-blowing is that, you know what, the Rams were favorites in five of those games. That's the kooky thing. They're favorite this week, too. But the really crazy thing is this. Debo Samuel has scored at least one touchdown in all of those games.
Kooky.
In all six games. He's the factor. Not Jimmy Garoppolo. Okay? Not the coaching battle. No. It's none of that. It's all down to Debo Samuel. Now, the question is, Can the Rams do the thing, like it's almost like playing against Michael Jordan? Can they do the thing where they allow Debo to do his thing and shut everybody else down? If they can do that, they can win. I think the Rams are playing pretty well these days. I think they can outscore this team unless Debo goes for four touchdowns. As long as there's no dumb mistakes. And I kind of think they got the dumb mistakes out of their system last
year. God, I hope so.
I don't really think this team has a bad tendency to take the foot off the pedal on defense in the second half. Right. They often have, you know, what is it? Sean McVay had a record of something like 42-0 when he was leading at half. Something like this, you know, some crazy stat like this before he lost to the Niners. he had some crazy stat like this. But now they're getting loose about that. And the thing is, like, I think this is the week where they really put, you know, in this lovely phraseology, they put the foot on the throat. I really think this is the week. I've got, I'm going to go Rams 28-17.
Really? Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of zag a little bit. I don't think it's going to be close. I really think this is the one where the Rams get it together. They clamp down. They play. They don't allow the second half comeback. Debo may do some damage, but I think, you know, Garoppolo is when Garoppolo throws up those risky balls this week they get intercepted.
Okay, so now also the game is played at SoFi Stadium, right?
Right.
So yep. How much of an importance is that to the Rams, knowing that they've got the home field advantage.
But do they? There was a couple of things this week where I believe one of the players, I believe one of the, I want to say somebody in the front office, bought up like a couple thousand tickets each and like promised to distribute them to Rams fans specifically, stuff like this. Because the truth is that I would say the 49ers are probably the second most popular team in California. And the Rams are not number one. Number one is the Raiders, I think, still.
Right.
And I think two is the Niners. And, you know, there's going to be enough people coming from up north down to Los Angeles. So COVID's not scaring these guys, none of that kind of stuff.
Right.
They can make that trip. They do it all the time. So, but on the other hand, the Rams fans have been getting a bad rap for not showing up to these games. And they have been more and more. They really have. Mm-hmm. I expect about 50-50 crowd.
Okay.
But I don't think it matters.
But do you think it's going to help the motivation knowing that they're playing in their own stadium, though?
Well, I think what's going to help the motivation is they're going to get back to the Super Bowl.
Got it.
And they're going to get to play that in Los Angeles,
right.
You don't want to look ahead, but that's the prize for this game. You know, it's not only is it the Super Bowl, it's like Los Angeles. We don't have to travel anywhere. We don't have to go nowhere. We're going to be in our hometown. We're going to be partying for like a week after this.
We know where the hookers are at. Yeah.
Everything, right? The good weed.
Yeah. Okay, so let's switch it over now. We got the Bengals and the Chiefs here. Right. Where's that one being played at?
Okay, so this one is in Kansas City, of course. Okay. The Bengals went in as like number six seed to this thing. So they were one of the last teams to make it. But everybody, at least the popular media, seems to want the Bengals to win this game. But I'll tell you what, people aren't putting their money where their mouths are, because the line on this is +7. Mm. So the Bengals are 7-point underdog, and that hasn't moved since the Chiefs finished off the Bills. So, nobody is not many people are backing the Bengals, certainly not a majority.
Okay.
So, the Bengals are a fun team, you know. The Burrow to Chase connection is really electric. They're a very exciting team. Everybody likes the plucky underdog. But, you know, the truth is, in the last game, they gave up, 9 sacks? You know, and I know the Titans' defense is pretty good, but 9 is a lot of sacks.
Right, yeah.
You know, I know that, and then against the Raiders, they had to have that kooky ghost whistle touchdown thing, uh-huh. You know, to get the win. And, you know, so they're kind of, a lot of people have been saying this week they're playing with house money, and I kind of feel like that. But look, this, again, I think this is going to be simple. Here's the one mind-blowing stat. Okay. As a starting quarterback, Patrick Mahomes of the Chiefs has lost just 15 times. In every single one of those games, the opposing team has scored 35 or more points.
Oh, damn.
Period.
Whoa.
Period.
Yeah.
That's the benchmark. Okay. Can the Bengals score 35 points? Because this defense has been good and bad on and off this season. The Bengals torched them last time. Right, Chase went for, I think, 200 yards against the Chiefs earlier this season when the Bengals beat them. And so, but that's going to be the benchmark. And I don't think this is it. I don't think this is the year for the Bengals. The theme kind of this whole season has been changing of the guard. And I think this is kind of a signal that maybe the Bengals are going to win that North for a few years now. Maybe they're going to be in contention for a few years. I think this is the beginning of something. Uh-huh. But the Chiefs, with this propensity for everybody to go greatest of all time, I don't understand why they're not being compared to the great teams at this point. I think if they make the Super Bowl, they will be.
Gotcha.
You know, being in 3 in a row puts them with the Patriots of the teens, the Bills of the 90s, the Don Shula Dolphins, and if you want to say so, the Green Bay Packers of Vince Lombardi. You know, this puts them in an elite crowd just for being in the Super Bowl 3 times. So I'm going to go Chiefs 33, Bengals 30. I'm saying Chiefs versus Rams in the Super Bowl, and this would be great because the last time the Chiefs were in the Super Bowl, they scored 9 points, and the last time the Rams were in the Super Bowl, they scored 3 points. So it would be nice to see them score more than 12 points combined in the Super Bowl this year.
Got it.
I do have one thing. Now we've got Roethlisberger's gone. Yep. Aaron Rodgers is gone. It looks like Tampa Bay.
Brady's
gone. You know, all these things going. If you look back to last week's Chief Bills game, did we see the two quarterbacks of the future in the NFL?
Well, yeah, also Burrow.
Burrow's, but
also in San Diego with the Chargers. The Chargers, I think, have a bright future as well. I think those are your four, really, the teams of the future in the AFC. Kansas City, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Los Angeles Chargers.
The show that Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes put on last week was just
that was ridiculous.
Amazing. Wow, what a game.
Yeah, that was great. But, you know, I loved watching the Chiefs in that game because, the Bills were – it was a great story and all this. But there was a point with a minute and 30 left when, you know, it's third and whatever, throws it. Kelce jumps up in the air, lands on his side, gets up. Everybody's walking back to the line of scrimmage, mm-hmm. you know, for the first down, right? Minute and a half left. They're just like, no problem. I love teams like that.
Yeah.
I love it when the Warriors – do that. I love it when, you know, just the Patriots of the old used to do that. You know, they're so cool. No fear. And then 13 seconds left. What can you say?
No.
You know, yeah. He didn't even have Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
And he crossed that same distance that the Rams did.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen that before. Yeah. That was
amazing.
Jeez. That was
all right. So basically for next, so you're looking for the Super Bowl right now. You're looking at possibly the Rams and the Chiefs then.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Bengals and Rams would be a lot of fun, but I'm going to go Chiefs and Rams. I think the smart money is still on the Chiefs. We're witnessing greatness, folks. Chiefs
we are. Great. We definitely are. It's going to be, two good games tomorrow. Let's see. Tomorrow, noon is the Bengals and the Chiefs, and then at 3:30, looks like it's going to be the Niners and the Rams.
Oh, God. I love living on the West Coast.
We'll check it out.
Watching sports is so awesome on the West Coast. I love it. And in New England, that's going to start at, 7 o'clock, that second game? Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't beat that 3:30 start.
Exactly.
I love LA.
All righty. Thons, thank you so much, buddy. And we'll see what happens tomorrow. So catch the games. And don't forget, guys, you can also catch Oz on SportsHistoryNetwork.com. And thank you, buddy, and we'll catch you next week. We'll go over it again.
Yeah. Have a great week.
All right, you too. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right. Oh, man. It's gonna be awesome. I think it's gonna be two good games. Two really good games. All right. Well, you know what? Last week, we read a story about the Pope. Do you remember when we read the story about the Pope?
No.
You don't remember the story? The Pope went to the record store there?
Oh, the record. Oh, yeah. He was looking for some vinyl, I guess.
Right. We got to thinking, what kind of music would the Pope listen to, basically?
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of wondering if he...
Because it looks like...
Is he more into Latin music?
When I was handed...
More into Latin music or, since he's from, Argentina.
Okay.
Or is he into classical? Is he into blues, rock? Does he like Selena Gomez or more of a J-Lo person?
Is it like Barry Manilow or Barry White?
Exactly. These things were we wanted to know. So we had producer Casey, unfortunately, who's not here today. We'll explain why a little bit later. But Casey was able to get a hold of the Vatican for us and see if we could set up a phone call with Pope Francis. And ironically, they said yes.
That's really, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So we got it all set up, and the timing's got to be just right and everything for it. So let's go ahead and do some little bit of dialing music here. And we're going to call the Vatican. Because they are expecting our phone call here.
Of course, they may have gone to, the department store or something, looking for a new couch or something.
Yeah, well, you never know with the Pope. Yeah. So let's see. The Pope answers. Hopefully the Pope will answer.
Hello?
Hello, Pope Francis?
Ciao.
Hey, Ciao. How are you, Pope Francis?
Very, very good, but very, very cold.
Great. Well, sorry to hear that you're cold there, Pope.
Hey, Pope Francis, this is Steve and Sean from your Weekly Dose podcast.
Oh, sì, hanno detto ci deve essere chiamato.
Wow. Italian, I forgot. Pope speaks Italian there. Sorry, Pope Francis, we didn't understand that a bit.
Oh, pardon me. Oh, forgive me. I'm so used to speaking Italian.
Well, that's okay, Your Holiness. Sir, we read a story last week where you snuck out of the Vatican to visit a record store that was nearby.
Oh, see, yes, I thought that I wouldn't be able to get that. Put it in some of my favorite artists.
Can you say that one more time, Paul?
I mean, an interpreter.
And he's speaking English.
I know.
Wow. Okay. Can you say that line one more time, Pope?
Yes, I thought I would be able to get out a bit to get some of my favorite artists.
Oh, okay, got it. Okay, all right. Well, that's why we're actually calling you, Your Holy Father. We were wondering what music the Pope purchased at a record store. Who are some of your favorite artists?
Oh, there are so many to choose from. But I must say that I've been a bigger fan of Madonna. And, of course, the singer, too.
Well, that makes sense.
It does.
What are some of your favorite songs of hers?
I've liked her ever since, like a virgin, but I also enjoy Like a Prayer and Papa Don't Preach.
Well, that would make sense, being the Pope, you know, Virgin Madonna, you know, and everything. Yeah. Do you have any rock artists or rock songs that you like?
Oh, yes, of course, my son. I enjoy Living on a Prayer, Stairway to Heaven, Holy Diver, and a personal favorite, and The Sympathy for the Devil.
Oh, so the Rolling Stones, yeah.
Well, what about Shout at the Devil?
Oh, no.
Oh, is that too hard of a rock and roll for you, Pope Francis?
No, it's not that. It's just the shouting hurts my ears. Besides, he's really not that bad of a guy, but I do like the devil without any Georgia.
Really? Why is that?
Because of that song, he got his ass handed to him big time.
Well, yeah, that time. Well,
now, you know, Pope Francis, there are a lot of songs about the devil, and they even say that rock and roll is the devil's music.
Well, yes, so there are a lot of rock and roll songs about the devil. That doesn't mean it's the devil's music. But I will just say that the rap is completely close. But there are so many rock songs that show the nicer side of the Beelzebub.
Which songs are you referring to?
Well, there's the one about the devil jogging.
Which one is that?
It's a running with the devil. Oh. Then there's his holiday song, the Christmas with the devil. Let's see what the one that he dresses in drag.
The dresses in drag. Which one is that?
Devil with the blue dress on.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, yeah.
And there's the one where he gives out the food and Satan gives me a taco.
Wow. It seems that you really know rock and roll. I bet you even like Slipknot.
Oh, very much so, my son. And you're the 555, and I'm the 666. I'm a pretty hip hop.
Yeah, you are. And now, are there any other songs that you fancy?
Oh, yes. I Love the Faith by Jorge Migueles.
Oh, Jorge Migueles?
Jorge Migueles?
Oh, I know. I think he means George Michaels.
Señor Migueles.
Yeah.
I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know that everybody has got a body like the Pope.
What other songs do you enjoy?
Oh, they keep it the faith by Bon Jovi, Soul Meets the Body by Death Cab for Beauty, and even like My Sweet Lord of All, Jorge Harrison. Even though that son of a bitch copies is so fine, but change the words. What am I about to say? I need to get it going now because it's nice, and I'm watching back to back Sister Act 1 and the 2.
Oh, sister. Yeah, okay. Well, Your Holiness, it was a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for taking our call.
Every time, my son, I'm always here for you.
Well, thank you, Pope Francis. Before you go, do you think you can give us a blessing?
Oh, see. Let me see. Dear the Lord, please bless the show, or podcast, or whatever the hell they call it. Please show them your light and we light the way for the much funnier way of doing things than a silly little bitch like this. Amen.
Thank you, Pope Francis.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
It.
One more thing.
Yeah.
6 seconds?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, 6 seconds. Yeah. You got it, Pope Francis.
Okay, boys. Ciao.
Okay. Ciao.
Well, there you go, guys. Fresh from the horse's mouth himself, the Pope. You know, he's into Death Cab for Beauty and Jorge Harrison. You know, George Harrison. Yeah. And Jorge Migueles, just known as George Michaels. Yeah, that phone call went really well.
Oh my God!
Yeah, I've got a funny feeling we might be talking to the Pope more often. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
Something comes up. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. That was really good. Did you learn anything about the Pope, Kayla?
When I could understand him.
Yeah, that heavy, thick Italian accent, even though he's from Argentina. Yeah, that's That's pretty good. That's pretty good. You doing okay there, Steve?
My God.
kind of resembled more of like a Dracula voice than I thought, but you know, it was nice.
It was nice. Good Lord. You okay there, buddy?
Steve, you need some water?
Well, other than
the workout,
they were
the
backwards and no numbers on them. I'm looking at it going, Oh, that was great. That was fun.
That was that was awesome.
Hats off to the Pope for, you know, being able to do that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like I said, I got a funny feeling we're going to be calling the Pope, you know.
Yeah.
Close personal friend.
Yeah, close personal friend, the Pope and everything, yeah.
How about that? Yeah, we're really branching out in the world.
Yeah, we're branching something. That's for damn sure. Oh, my gosh. Let's see. What time we got? We got a little bit of time here. You got something about McDonald's, don't you?
I don't know.
Or who's got the McDonald's
thing?
No, I don't.
I do. That's
you got it. Okay.
Hi. Things McDonald's employees really hate that customers do. Leave all your garbage behind on the table.
Hey, wait. Hold on. Let's put on some music for this here. Let's see what we got here. Let's do this one here. Yeah, that goes well.
Nice trippy tone.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so what are these? These are things that...
Things McDonald's employees really hate that customers do.
That customers do. Okay, what's the first one here?
Leave all your garbage behind on the table.
Yeah, I gotta agree with that. You know, throw your shit away. It's simple.
Yeah. When you get mad at them just for trying to help out.
How so? I mean...
So a customer orders a cheeseburger, no cheese. Tell them it's cheaper to ring it up as a regular hamburger.
Well, yeah, because you're just an idiot at that point. If you're going to order, I think I'll have a cheeseburger, but can you hold the cheese? It's called a hamburger, you dumbass. Well, yeah, I'd be pissed off, too.
And then the second they pull up to the drive-thru, hello?
Oh, yeah, if nobody's there.
Yeah,
that's kind of dumb, you know. Like, if they say, hey, welcome to McDonald's. Hey, how you doing? I'll do that, you know. Yeah. But I'm going to go, hello, anybody there? Yeah. Moron. Probably orders a cheeseburger with no cheese.
When you ask for no salt fries and then ask for a packet of salt anyways.
That would be Steve to a degree. But Steve goes, can you give me more salt?
Yeah, I get salt. I don't want him to give me fries without salt.
Salt, yeah. And then Steve will ask for 12 packets of salt with the salt already on the fries. So. Yeah.
And then they hate it when you make a really, 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 really large Tortora.
Oh, yeah. If you're ordering like 26 hamburgers, you know, I have 26 Big Macs and 53 McDoubles and 32 orders of Chicken McNuggets. Yeah, I could see that because that's a pain because the first hamburgers you're making or whatever, I mean, they're going to get done or get cold by the time, the last ones are done. So order ahead of time.
Yeah. When you change your mind a million times.
The menu, okay. Years ago, the menu used to be easily the same because the menu on the right was the same as the menu on the left.
Yeah.
You know, nowadays it's a little bit more complex though. But yeah, if you're changing your mind, it's a Big Mac is still a Big Mac. It's been around for 50 years or longer. You know, so it's like, come on.
I don't change it a million times, but I'm definitely guilty of like having my sister in the car and then us deciding before, and we're like, okay, we got the order. We get to the window. And then someone changes their mind or like, I forget what to say. And then I'm like, what was the word again? And then, like, I've definitely done that. I haven't changed it, like, a million times. But, like, I'm definitely, like, in my mind, I'm like, I hope I'm not annoying this person. I don't mean to.
Yeah. All right, what else we got? Anything else?
Yeah. Hate it when you don't even know what you're asking for. Example. Extra fries or apple slices? Yes.
Oh, I get it. Okay, yeah. They're asking you a question. Do you want, extra fries or do you want apple slices? You go, yeah, I'll take them. Well, what do you want? That makes perfect sense. Yeah. You get one or the other, dumb.
I know. Even working at the grocery store, I'd be like, paper or plastic? Yes.
Dumas?
It's super funny when you, like, ask them that and then they're like, oh, I'm good. How are you? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. I could understand some of that.
It didn't annoy me. I just thought it was funny, but I could definitely understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they eat in the bathroom, I.
What?
I don't know anyone who would like. Who? Why would you do that?
Yeah. Why would you go to McDonald's to eat?
I'm such a germaphobe. It's like.
I would never want to eat in a bathroom at McDonald's.
I don't know when the last time they cleaned that was.
Exactly.
And I'm such like a germaphobe person to begin with. Like eating in a bathroom, no.
I don't even eat in my own bathroom.
Yeah.
I'll play games on my phone, but I ain't going to eat in there. you know, okay. Angry Birds pop, you know, whatever.
Angry Birds.
I like there to pop popcorn in the bathroom while I'm sitting in there.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
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 My corn comes out while I'm there because of the night before, but yeah, we won't.
Okay. let's see. Oh, and
different kind of pop.
Yep. the heated.
Oh, you got it.
She's still laughing from the Pope, I think, over here.
Honestly, okay. They hate it when you dump a bunch of random coins on the counter and then leave. Yeah, I think that's...
Oh, I think that's anywhere you do that. It's like, go ahead and figure it out. You know, yeah, I think I got enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's like a...
That's just kind of rude,
thing.
Too.
Yeah, it's like... Like, whenever, because I used to be a cashier, so I know, like, some of the ticks of other cashiers. Mm-hmm. And it's like, whenever I have, like, let's say a lot of coins, I sort it at least. So it's like, here's $1, here's the second dollar. You know, because, like, I'm a broke college student. Sometimes I got to pay with coins.
Well, yeah.
But, like, I'm not, like, the annoying person that, like, has, like, a million pennies and is like, okay, here's a dollar, you know?
Right, right.
I try to, like, at least.
Any more?
Quarters. That's the last one.
That's the last one. All right, cool. Cool. All right, well, you know what? You know what time it is? Do you know?
It's 11:18.
Apparently.
Well, not really, Steve.
It's time to get Casey on the phone because obviously we need a little.
It's time to. We have to explain why Casey isn't here. So, first of all, Should we wake up? Poor Steve. You know, Casey picks up Steve on her way in. And she's got a long-ass drive, which I admire from her. And the poor thing, well, she has her nephew visiting with her this weekend. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a couple of weeks ago, she asked, hey, can I bring him in? You know, or whatever. She tells me that she's going to have him, whatever. You know, it was whatever, you could bring him into the show. And I'm like, yeah, why not? You know, it's kind of cool. We can see how the podcast runs. We can have fun with a little kid, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, she wakes up this morning, takes her boyfriend Mateo to work, leaves her phone at the house, but comes back. Her phone is blowing up because of texts from you, texts from me, and calling, making sure she's okay. She forgot it was Saturday.
It happens.
It happens.
I said, if I didn't have my alarms for every day of the week for when I have stuff scheduled, I would probably not show up.
Yeah.
To be fair.
You know, it's just one of those things you go, yeah, it's a really good day today, you know, and shit, is that the time? Oh! You know, and you're going, oh my God, you know, it's like, wait, is today Saturday? Yes, it is. Oh! You know, and you're going to be going, okay, well, where are you? You know, but it is what it is. But she's having a good time. She's enjoying her nephew. So we're like, and I told her, like, just stay there. So we were more concerned about her well-being, that she wasn't in a car accident.
Something didn't happen, yeah.
Yeah,
you know, and that's the first thing I said. I told her, I said, I'm not even upset or angry or whatever. I go, it happens. You know, I get it. You know, but... you know, so go enjoy the day with your nephew and everything and so forth. But
remember, it happened with Phoebe.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Of course, she'd been out like the night before. So.
Yeah.
So she we called her. She was still in bed. She's all like,
yeah.
I have come to these shows hungover at times. It is.
Well, so Steve comes in high. So
what the hell.
When he's a little bit more quiet, that's when
night.
Yeah, he's very, very observant on the whole thing. So anyway, well, actually, you know what time it is? It's time to get our game on, is what it is.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's time for the game show that actually caused the Pope to accept our phone call. Ciao, baby. Quiz me.
Quiz you. All right, and we got intern Christopher here with us.
Hello, how are you guys all doing
today? I'm good,
buddy.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I've heard a lot of laughter coming from this room. It seems like you guys are enjoying yourself.
We're having a good time today. So, all right, we ready to play this crazy game?
Yes, and I hope you're ready to enjoy question number one. Who is seen as the most famous female American fashion icon in the 1960s?
That's very specific.
Yes, wow. Yes, it is.
Not only, then it goes 1960s.
Fashion icon of the 60s. Female. What?
Female fashion icon.
Female fashion icon.
Most famous female American fashion icon of the 1960s. Good luck.
God. Was that Anderson's mother?
These questions?
Oh, you're thinking Coco Chanel, right? Is that who it is?
No, what's his name on CNN? Yeah. His mother. Is that Coco Chanel or is that? No, it was.
No.
No. Oh, I can't think of it.
Okay, who is it?
Jacqueline Kennedy.
Oh.
I totally misunderstood that.
I get it now.
Yeah.
That does make perfect sense.
Yeah. All right. Well, at least it makes sense. If it doesn't make sense, then that's when things go bad. All right, question number two. According to the commercial, what is the fabric of our lives?
Steve. Cotton.
That is correct. Good job, Steve. Moseying on over to question number three. Which American president was involved with the Watergate scandal?
Steve. John.
Steve beat you to it.
Richard Milhouse Nixon.
That is correct.
Milhouse?
That's his middle name.
Oh my gosh.
Question number four. Leader and political icon Nelson Mandela was from which...
Steve.
John.
Oh, wow.
Steve?
South Africa.
That is correct. Steve's on a roll here.
Steve's going card. Steve's going card.
All right, Steve, let's see if he can get question number five. What is the name of the classification of crime which is less serious than a felony?
Steve.
Sean.
Steve?
Misdemeanor.
That is correct.
Because he's been there.
Done that.
I have questions after the show, but I just...
Best not to ask them.
Don't feel... 30 years, I'm still learning about this man. Friendship. We've been
30 years. He may have nothing going on today's catching up, but on the past catching up. Woo!
All right, moving into question number six. Steve is 5 for 4. He's doing pretty good for himself.
He's going card.
Butch Cassidy was famous for doing what?
Sean?
Train
robberies.
Stealing and robbing trains. Good job, Sean.
Ooh, led the hole in the wall game.
Stole your thunder.
Yeah. I didn't want you to feel bad, so I...
Oh, well, thank you.
All right, question number seven.
Where's Caitlin in this whole thing?
Huh?
Where are you in this whole thing?
What are you...
You haven't even answered one.
I know, because I'm not the end of the answer.
Jesus. Just call your name.
What name does deer meat go by?
Steve.
Sean.
Steve.
Venison.
That is correct, Steve.
Wow. Well, you know what? I got to say, at least Caitlin's like, you know, 0 for 0, so she's good. Yeah, she's got a perfect score.
All right, question number eight. Which country invented tea?
Sean.
Caitlin.
Sean, then...
Caitlin.
Caitlin, go first?
England.
No.
Oh, no. China. All the tea in
China.
That is correct.
As an expression, Caitlin, it's called all the tea in China.
See, I don't know that.
But you got came close, though.
Hey! You know, you just learned something.
Education, yes. Guess.
Education.
Yay.
Yay.
You know? Hooray for
see,
education.
That's for you. That's where you just kind of go.
Question number nine.
Come on. There we go. Big fat thumbs.
What was the name of the group Justin Timberlake used to be a part of?
Sean.
Sean?
NSYNC.
That is correct, Sean. And we finally move on to question number 10. We are here. It has arrived. Who was the first woman... ever indicated, inducted, oh my gosh.
Or indicated.
Or indicted.
Inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
The first woman?
Mm-hmm. The first woman ever inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
No.
Was that Steve?
Sean.
I can't remember her first name. Baker?
No. Sean?
If my memory serves me correct, I believe it is the Queen of Soul, and that would be Aretha Franklin.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Good job, Sean.
Yay. All right.
And that is our game for today. Peace out.
Wait, who writes these questions? I'm curious.
People on trivia games. Alrighty, guys. Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. We want to thank the Pope, you know, for allowing us to call in. And show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Find us on Facebook at Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram is at Your Weekly Dose 1.
You find me, Steve, on Facebook, Steve Silva, and Twitter at SilvaLining69.
And I am on Instagram, Caitlin Kettstever, or Kettstever Studios, KETSDEVER Studios.
And if you want to follow me, Sean, on any of the social media, it's simply Sean R. Unplugged. And don't forget, guys, to listen to us also on Delmarva Talk Radio. You can listen to all of our past shows there, 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings, and also on Lime City Radio at noon Wednesday through Friday. So we definitely appreciate our affiliates, and we appreciate you guys joining us too as well. See, once again, if you enjoy the show, don't forget to tell your friends about us, because we can't grow without you guys. Help spread the word about the show. Tell your friends, tell your relatives, tell your hamster, tell anybody who will listen.
And then they can tell two friends, and they can tell two friends,
and so on, and so on, and so on. Exactly. So enjoy yourself, guys. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll catch you next week when we find out who goes to the Super Bowl.
That was so in sync.
There you go. All right. Take care, everybody. Have a good one.
Hey, don't look up, world.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.